This is the voice of truth, the voice of God's inerrant, absolute, unbroken, verbally inspired word. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, pastor here at Radio Missions, where the gospel goes out on a regular basis. We air Pastor Shelton's messages that he preached many years ago. Now he's gone on to be with the Lord. The message you'll hear today is no compromise or deliverance by blood and by power. It's number 423 in this series. We'll be glad to send it to you in booklet form, free and postpaid. Anyone who writes, calls, let us know. Our email address is radiomissions.org. And I'll give you the regular mailing address at the close of the service.
The word salvation literally means deliverance. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save, and that word save means deliver, his people from their sins, Matthew 1:21. He never saves his people in their sins. That isn't deliverance. No, that wouldn't be salvation. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthians, said, and my speech and my preaching was not in with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and power of God. 1 Corinthians 2:4-5. Now you get quiet there and listen, will you? Now you didn't get that. Now you get quiet, settle down there. Then writing to the church at Colossae, he again said, forget it, listen, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom, not in what, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Colossians 1:13-14. Then Joshua 2:9 says, salvation is of the Lord. And if salvation is of the Lord, we need a deliverer. In these scriptures we readily see that salvation is by power, because salvation is a deliverance from the power of Satan, the power of sin, and from Satan's kingdom. It is being taught all over this country from the average pulpit that if you believe that Jesus died for you, you're saved. In other words, they preach salvation by blood only, and not many are being saved, no. And many now are even denying the blood. And they're just saying, well, decision for Christ, trust Jesus, that's all. Give your heart to Jesus. Come on down the aisle, trust Jesus, and that's all you've got. There's no salvation to that. I'll tell you, my friends, when a man is saved, he's delivered from Satan, he's delivered from the power of sin, he's delivered from self, he's delivered from this evil world, he's delivered from the satanic world system, he is delivered from himself. Now you put that down, brother, now you can smoke that. Now you listen. Let me state in the very beginning that salvation is not. Now you listen now what salvation is not. Salvation is not resting on the Word of God. Salvation is not believing in the promises of God's Word. Oh, I've heard folks, oh, do you believe this? If you believe this promise, are you saved? No! 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 Just believe in the promises and salvation. Listen again. The salvation is not resting on the finished work of Christ. Oh, I thought salvation was resting on the finished work of Christ. No, wait a minute. Salvation is not even believing the truth. The truth shall make you free. That's right. The truth shall make you free. Free to do what? If the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And salvation is not revealed through baptism, but salvation is a deliverance from the power of Satan, the power of sin, and the power of darkness, from the power of self, and is a translation into the kingdom of the Son of God by the power of God's Holy Spirit, and a cleansing by the precious blood of the Son of God. Salvation is a person. Salvation is a deliverance by a person. That person is the crucified, buried, risen, exalted, Lord Jesus Christ at the right hand of God. He is our deliverer through the power of the Holy Spirit. Salvation, rest in a person. That person is the risen, exalted Christ Jesus. Now, brother, I'm telling you, there's been so much flimflamsy, self-soupy stuff about folks being saved until the average individual knows nothing about salvation in Christ, salvation in a person. Our subject today is no compromise. Now, brother, you get seated on your radio there and you get quiet. No compromise. In our first message on salvation by power, I want to take you back to the book of Exodus and give you an illustration taken from God's Word, which clearly and distinctly shows us that salvation is by blood and by power. Salvation is not only by blood, but salvation is by power. Now you listen. While Joseph was prime minister of Egypt, and as a result of the famine over the land, the Hebrews, or Jews, came into the country of Egypt and settled in the land of Goshen. They lived there some 400 years. After the death of Joseph, a king came to the throne that knew not Joseph. And slowly but surely, as the Jews rapidly multiplied, they became the bond slaves of the Egyptians. When the time of deliverance came, according to God's promise, they were bond slaves in Egypt. The land of Egypt represents the world. Pharaoh was a type of Satan. God's chosen people were held captive. Every one of God's elect today are held captive by Satan. I don't know who they are, but God knows them. And every one of them are a bond slave of Satan. You listen to me now. And under no circumstances, by thy power, could they leave that land and go back to the land of Canaan, and by no power of your own can you deliver yourself. God raised up a leader in the person of Moses, trained him for 40 years in the courts of Egypt, 40 years in the wilderness, called him, commissioned him, and sent him back to lead the children of Israel from the land of Egypt back to their own land, the land of Canaan. But they were bond slaves in Egypt. What a task! Moses, go back to Egypt. My people are there as bond slaves. Go and lead them to the land of Canaan. And Moses said, they won't hear me. And brother, he is right. They wouldn't hear him. They had to be freed before they could even go. And every sinner has got to be freed from the power of Satan. One day Moses with Aaron appeared in the courts of Pharaoh, delivering the commandment from Jehovah God in these words. Listen now. Listen. The Lord God of the Hebrews hath sent me unto thee, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. Let my people go. And I cry this morning, as an ambassador from the courts of heaven, let God's people go. Satan, you're going to let them go. Not one of God's elect will be left behind. It's ordained by the foolishness of preaching that God will save or deliver his people. You listen. If you can imagine, here were 3 million Jews, bond slaves to Pharaoh, a type of Satan. You might know how Pharaoh felt when Moses appeared in his court saying, let my people go. His answer was, who is the Lord God of the Hebrews? Who are you to command me to let these 3 million people go? But Moses stood his ground and said, let my people go. Brother, I've been crying over this radio for years. Let God's people go. One by one, they're being released from the bondage of sin and the power of Satan and being delivered. You listen. Then Pharaoh answered with his question, where will you go? And the answer was 3 days' journey in the wilderness to worship our God. Now, I want you to notice that. I'm coming back to that expression, 3 days' journey. And Moses said, we will go with our young, with our old, with our sons, with our daughters, with our flocks, with our herds, will we go? For we must hold a feast unto the Lord. In other words, Moses said, we'll not leave one single individual in Egypt, and not one hoof of the herds of our flocks will be left behind. Jehovah God says, let my people go. There's no compromise. We will go. We must go, said Moses, God's spokesman. So as ever a true minister of God, he cries out, let my people go. Here we have a type of every sinner held in bondage by the power of Satan. Every sinner by nature is a child of Satan, is held captive by Satan, is a prisoner of Satan, and is a member of the family of Satan. That sinner cannot leave the family of Satan at his will or by man's will. Christ said one day, but as many, get it, as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. A man being held prisoner by the power of Satan cannot deliver himself, because Satan is stronger than the will of any man, or the power that any person possesses. But when God gets ready to save a sinner and deliver that sinner out of the family of Satan and translates him into the kingdom or the family of God, he issues a call and says to Satan, let him go. He's mine. Let him go. He's mine. Come out! Turn loose! That's one of my elect. I've elected him. I've chosen him. I've called him. The Holy Spirit broods over that sinner and begins to show that sinner he is a member of Satan's family, and he cannot deliver himself, and that he has no power to deliver himself, because he's a bondslave of Satan, a bondslave to sin, and a prisoner of hell. But the effectual call comes to that sinner through the preached word of God. He leaves. He comes. Delivered by the power of God. Saved by blood and by power. Salvation is of the Lord. And God will not compromise with Satan or the world or the flesh or the sinner in delivering and saving and pardoning that individual. When the work is finished, there is a complete deliverance. And that individual is a new creation in Christ Jesus. The first move that God makes toward the salvation of a sinner, Satan begins his move of trying to compromise, trying to hold that sinner. You can't blame the old devil. He's a good old devil from that angle. Bless your heart, I hate him, but I thank God he delivered me from him one day. Just as Pharaoh made his move to get Moses to compromise with him, Satan will have leave nothing unturned to hold you into his family. I want you to see that thing, sinner. Listen. Now let's notice the fourfold compromise that Pharaoh tried with Moses regarding the children of Israel. Let's face this fact frankly. Moses said, let my people go. Who will go? He said, our children, our sons, our daughters, our maidens, our old ones, our wives, and all of our flocks and herds. We'll not leave one hoof behind. Pharaoh said, no, they cannot go. So Satan says. Then God began to deal in judgment with the land of Egypt. Finally, Pharaoh called Moses in and said, go ye sacrifice to your God in the land. You catch that? Go sacrifice to your God in the land. Exodus 8:25. Then Pharaoh said, ye need not go 3 days' journey. Why 3 days' journey? But Moses said, we will go 3 days' journey. 3 days' journey? Yes, sir. 3 days' journey, get it, is the difference between death and resurrection. Do you know the average individual I'm talking to today knows nothing but the death of Christ on the cross? Christ isn't on the cross. Christ is risen. Christ is exalted. Christ is the right hand of God in the heavens. Go yonder to Bethlehem's manger, and you don't find the child Jesus there. That manger is empty. Go yonder to dark Calvary's mounting, and you'll find a vacant cross. Christ isn't on that cross. Travel yonder to Joseph's tomb. Look within the dark walls of that sepulchre, and Christ is not there. If the angel were still sitting there on that stone, you'd hear the words, he's not here. He's risen. He's risen. Go yonder to Mount of Olives. And you'll not find him there. But I'll tell you where you'll find him. You'll find him in the heavens at the right hand of the Majesty as the risen, living, exalted Lord Jesus. So the difference in 3 days' journey is the difference between death and resurrection. Moses said, there'll be no compromise. Brother, when God takes hold of a sinner to save that sinner, he delivers him from the evil world, out of the hands and power of Satan. He delivers him from the power of sin, the flesh, and the devil, and translates him into the kingdom of the Son of God. Salvation is by blood and by power, and the individual who is redeemed by the blood of the Son of God is delivered by his power and is a new creation in Christ Jesus. And his faith does not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God, which is the resurrected, exalted Lord Jesus. I want you to get that now. We are living in a day when they tell us you don't need to be separate and so peculiar. Be religious, but don't say goodbye to Egypt. Pharaoh said, go worship your God. We worship ours. Let's have fellowship together. Why be so peculiar? Who is your God above my God? But listen to God's word. It is not meet so to do, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before thy very eyes? And will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he has commanded us. No compromise. The individual who knows only the death of Christ on the cross and looks only to a dead Christ for salvation and counts his decision as salvation is sacrificing the abomination of the world, and there's no difference between him and the world. There's no line of demarcation, no resurrection power in his life, no new creation. His whole religious life is one abomination in the sight of God. Most of our religion today is like an old Mother Hubbard, covers everything and touches nothing. The most peculiar person living today is the individual who has walked out or been delivered by the Lord Jesus Christ from the world and Satan and knows no compromise. God help us in this hour. Then Pharaoh saw he could not lead Moses into compromise from that angle. He came at him from this angle, as recorded in Exodus 8:28. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only, get it now, only ye shall not go very far. All right, go in the wilderness, but don't go 3 days' journey. Don't go very far. I want you to notice that expression. Ye shall not go very far. That's all right. If you don't want to sacrifice unto your God in the land of Egypt, just go outside of the borderland, just a little way, but just don't go very far. Yes, the religious world would say you may become religious, but don't become entirely separate. Don't be so peculiar about your religion. You may say a half-hearted goodbye to the world, but don't go very far. Don't break completely with the world and its ways. You're going to lose all your friends. You're going to lose your influence and everything in the world. This is one of the most subtle and most damning forms of compromise that Satan proposes to the heart of a poor sinner. If you become entirely separate, you lose all your friends. You lose your influence with the world. You get this. Multitudes of preachers and so-called Christians take this attitude. You know, for me to influence men, I've got to belong to their organizations and their clubs and their fraternal orders. Or if I want to influence my husband to the church, I've got to go with him into the world and drink a bottle of beer with him, or sit in the movies with him, or down at the theaters with him. God pity such so-called Christians. That's a compromise and an indication that you have not been delivered or been saved. Now, you can put that down and smoke it. You mean to tell me that because I'm a member of some fraternal order, I'm not saved? I bet my last silver dollar that that's so, if I was a bitten man. Now, that may shake you in your boots, preacher, if you listen to me, and you've been sitting out yonder in some clubs and fraternal orders and this thing and that thing, and you've been courting the world, God's never called you to salvation. Now, you listen. Let's notice a third compromise found in Exodus 10:11. Pharaoh said, go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord, for that ye did desire. In other words, you men go on, serve the Lord, but leave your women and children behind. I don't believe that a born-again believer will ever be content to leave his wife and children behind. I know when God begins to draw an individual to Him by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that individual's mind and heart is being open to the truth of his condition, and he sees himself lost and ruined by the fall. He begins to cry out in his heart, Lord, what about my family? What about my wife? What about my children? I don't want to leave them behind. That's right. How many of you men I'm speaking to today, you claim to be saved, but you have no desire to see your family saved? They're gone. You've lost them. Where are your children? They're down in Egypt. They're not being influenced by your so-called Christian life. The devil knew that the fathers would come back if their children were left behind. But Moses said, no, sir, we'll take our loved ones with us. God help us in this hour. Now let's notice the fourth step of compromise found in Exodus 10:24. You listen. And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go ye, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. Go worship, he said, but leave your possessions behind. Leave your flocks and your herds in Egypt. In other words, leave your sacrifice behind. Moses would not compromise because he said, thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Brother, you won't have any trouble with the devil if you leave blood sacrifice out. Satan hates that sacrifice on the cross. Satan hates the crucified, buried, and risen Lord who is exalted at the right hand of God as our sin offering. Satan doesn't care what you believe. Brother, you can go around here and talk about salvation by water baptism. You can talk about a dead Christ, and Satan will help you build a great congregation. You can talk about keeping the Sabbath to be saved, and Satan will cooperate with you to the nth degree. You can go around talking about your doctrines and be orthodox to the core. Yes, sir. And Satan will cooperate with you because Satan is one of the most orthodox Baptists that ever lived. You know that, did you? Yes, sir. Found that out. Satan is one of the most orthodox Baptists that ever lived. He is so orthodox until he could be elected pastor, deacon, or head of the finance committee of most any church. That's right. Boy, talk about your decision for Christ. And Satan will help you plan and put over your big campaigns and move the hearts of multitudes to make professions of faith, and you'll never have any trouble. Every old buzzard on the roost will cooperate with you. Every old infidel and Unitarian and modernist and everybody under the sun will cooperate with you. Brother, yes, sir. But Moses said, we'll not leave our flocks and herds behind. We've got to have a sacrifice. Satan is saying today, go worship, but leave your possessions in the world. Don't talk about blood, you know. That rouses things up. Don't talk about blood redemption. Don't talk about Christ being crucified. Leave your wealth for the devil and godless relations to fight over. That's right. A man started to be baptized one day, and he said to the pastor, said, just wait a minute. And he's gone about 10 minutes. And he finally come back and walked down the baptismal water, and he said, Pastor, I'm ready now. Go ahead and baptize me. And after it's all over, the pastor called him out one side and said, say, Fred, I want to ask you a question. Why did you make me wait 10 minutes? Well, he said, Pastor, I forgot my pocketbook. And I went back and put my pocketbook in my pocket. I wanted it baptized too. Brother, just let me go to talking about your money and you go sky high. Why? It's not under the blood. Let me ask you a question. Is everything that you touch under the blood? While Moses stood there day after day, week after week before Pharaoh, the type of Satan, demanding that he let those Hebrews go, they were still bond slaves in Egypt. Judgment after judgment had been falling. While God was moving Pharaoh to thrust them out, he was preparing that people to go. So it is when the Holy Spirit broods over a poor lost sinner, a slave of Satan, and demands Satan to come out and let him go, he begins to move upon the heart of that sinner to want to be delivered. Get this, God never delivers a sinner against his will. God never delivered those Jews against their will. When the time came, God said to Moses, let every family in the land of Goshen select a lamb without spot or blemish. On the 14th day of the month, the evening tide, let them kill that lamb and take the blood in a basin with a bunch of hyssop and sprinkle the blood on the doorpost. That people had to be redeemed, and redeemed by blood. The ransom price had to be paid. The firstborn of our home rested under the judgment of a sin-avenging God. I can see that evening hour when every family spread that blood of the slain lamb up on the doorpost of their home. He said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. He didn't say, when I see your baptism or your works. He didn't say, when I see you as a slave of Satan, as a child of hell, or as an unworthy creature, but when I see the blood, I'll leap over the door and overshadow the firstborn of that home, so that when death angel comes, I will receive the stroke and spare him. I will become not only their sin offering, but their substitute. I would that every sinner who's wakened to your lost condition could see at this moment Christ crucified, Christ buried, Christ risen, Christ exalted at the right hand of God as your substitute, one who leaped over the door and overshadowed you on the cross and received the stroke of a sin-avenging God in your place. It was a great moment when that great truth dawned upon this poor old sinner's heart that he died, and he died for me, salvation by blood. Those Jews saw that, salvation by blood. Now you listen. Then they sat behind that blood, eating the lamb roasted with bitter herbs, which represented their sufferings and privations and hardships as a slave in Egypt, which typifies the pains of repentance that a sinner experiences as he faces the fact, under the awakening power of God's Holy Spirit, that he's a child of Satan, a prisoner of hell, and a slave to sin. But in the midst of all the bitterness of repentance, it is sweetened with the cross of Christ, that Christ died for a wretch like me.
This brings to the close another Voice of Truth broadcast, and this is Pastor Albert Pendarvis inviting you to tune in each week at this same time. We hope you were listening, and the Lord has been blessing these messages. We get response from many of our folks all across the nation. We're on over 100 stations every week at this same time, and I always like to invite you to write in and get these messages in booklet form if you'd care to. Many folks do that, and they're free and postpaid. The title of the message was No Compromise, or Deliverance by Blood and by Power. Also, we have a title list of all of Pastor Shelton's recorded messages. You like, we send you a copy of that title list. And also, we have a gracious bookstore here. We'd be glad to send you a catalog of our bookstore. We only sell the old divines, the old Puritan preachers, good King James Version Bibles and those things. But if you write me, we'd be glad to send that to you. And then remember, the message was, No Compromise. What a message. Or Deliverance by Blood. And I asked my folks here in our regular services on many occasions, are you saved? You folks who hear the old trailblazer, Pastor Pendarvis, could I just ask you if you're saved? If you ever go in the bathroom and look yourself in the mirror and say, am I saved? I believe that'll do you good. It will. And remember, we're here each week at this same time, and the message will be here again next week. And remember, our mailing address is Radio Missions. That's one word, Radio Missions, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana. And this is Pastor Albert Pendarvis inviting you to tune in next week, same time. And then also, if you would, pray for us here. Let me know that you're listening and you pray for us, and we'll pray for you. We'll put you on our prayer list. Until then, goodbye and God bless you.